It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We should be doing daylight savings revolving around the golf season. If the weather starts getting nicer, we should actually move it the other way so that it, like, you know, right now it's 8:21. It's actually 6:21.
You want it dark until 11 a.m.
Yes. Golf comes up at 11.
What if people want to golf in the morning?
Don't you work?
Maybe they work at night.
Okay. Different clocks for everybody.
To rescue us from you making my brain hurt about what time it is.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant. WGR Sports Radio 550.
6:02 is the time. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off. Nate is in today. Happy to have Nate along.
Good morning.
He's going on another golf trip this week.
Yeah.
What is this? Like five this year for you?
It's a couple. This is the month of golf for me.
July?
I got Pinehurst this week. I come home. I have a day in between, and
yep.
Then I have the member guest at my club until Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Sunday morning, I leave to
another golf trip?
Yes.
Yeah. Where is this one?
It's just a Pebble? It's just Cross Creek. It's just a little
down the road
little spot in past Erie, PA that my dad and his buddies have been going for, gosh,
okay.
Like as long as I've been born. It's to me, you know, the course is, it's a little rinky dink. You know, it's, have you?
That
you
one's, are, no, you, we've
talked about this.
We've chatted about this. I've looked at it. It's like the best deal you can find
for
a getaway.
It's the best deal in golf.
Uh-huh.
They have like, you know, $2 domestics at the bar, a rotating shag carpet, crystal, like, you know, what do they call those big chandeliers?
Know.
Like a big crystal chandelier.
A shag
carpet that has a rotating bar. So it moves.
I see. Okay.
And like, I would say that I know a lot
very,
of people
that sounds
that
very,
go there.
Very 70s.
Oh, it's. So my grandfather used to go, and he used to go, and they would play a little golf, but mostly play dominoes.
Okay.
So that's how you know.
Mostly dominoes. Little golf.
Little
mostly
dominoes.
More of a dominoes trip.
It was mostly a dominoes trip.
A dominoes trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which apparently was a thing, dominoes.
Okay. I can't say I've ever played dominoes, like the game.
If there were dominoes in my hand, I was setting up some sort of elaborate knockdown situation.
Yeah. What percentage of dominoes use is the game, and what percentage is you set them up? In a pattern to have them knock each other down one after the other.
Because
that's not the game.
No, it's not.
That's not the game.
I wonder how, well, that's probably on a sliding scale. 70s, I'd say 90% of people, maybe 100% of people that had dominoes were playing the game. And now I would say it's probably 90% the other way.
Okay. That we're doing it to knock it down.
Yeah.
Because that's when I had dominoes in elementary school.
Yeah.
That we never, ever, ever
don't know,
played the
don't
game.
Know what the game is.
I couldn't tell you how to play the game.
Don't know the game.
Right now.
Yeah.
Josh or Owen, do you guys know how to play
Did
the
you
game
play
of
dominoes?
Like
couldn't
the actual game? No?
I just know that there
Nothing.
Are numbers on
Nobody.
The little dominoes.
Four young adults here, and none of us have a single. We couldn't do it. If
but
we
you've
had
all
it.
Set
Our
up dominoes to
it.
Fall, correct?
Oh, yeah.
100%. 100% of us polled have said dominoes is just the
because they have the dots on them.
They do
have the in the
numbers,
but that means nothing.
It's like dice. It's like flat dice.
But that means nothing to us.
No, not a thing.
Nothing.
Not a thing.
Okay.
I used to have like plastic ones that were just for setting up and knocking down.
Yeah. At
yeah.
some point, they changed the materials. The old school ones were like heavy. And then they switched to plastic because they were like, okay, well, these damn kids, they don't care about the game, so let's give them something.
Right. Yeah, just something to do.
So, yeah.
That's basically
Cross Creek before cards and dominoes.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of cigarettes would be my guess if it was the 70s.
It is funny. He's going to Pinehurst this week, and we spent time talking about the other golf course
yeah.
he's going to in
yes.
a couple of weeks. But he is going to Pinehurst.
Because that's the vibe,
this guy.
Place. There's 27 holes. We go like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So there'll be nobody on the course. We'll play like 10-on-10 scrambles.
Love it. Love
you know,
it.
Just absolute anarchy. But yeah. Pinehurst will be sweet.
Yeah.
Pinehurst will be sweet.
So, and then we get to training camp in a couple of weeks. And
that's right.
I can't wait for that. For that, that really is also, man, training camp every year is a combination for me personally of camp being back, football feeling like it is back. One, we're doing the show outside, which is always great.
Yes.
And then also the golf there is also incredible around the St. John Fisher area, around Rochester as well. And we're only a couple of weeks away from that. And I'm very excited for training camp. Although I don't really know, you know, this might be the last time we do a show together until we get to camp. I don't know what the main storyline is right now that I would be excited for. Like, what is the, other than just they're back, everyone's back, football's back, like the single thing on the, like, there's no real James Cook drama anymore.
Not really.
I don't think. He left the door. They talked a lot about James Cook on the afternoon show yesterday. Like, he slightly left the door cracked open when he showed up to minicamp and said, you know, he wouldn't necessarily say what he would be doing at camp. He just said he would be at camp.
Yeah.
Maybe keeping the door open to a hold-in if there was no contract between minicamp and training camp. I don't think anybody expects there to be a contract between then and now.
I don't.
So, does he hold in? Like, I guess that's possible, but I'm not really expecting that.
I'm not.
From James Cook.
I'm just kind of expecting there not to be really any drama around it whatsoever.
So what is it? What is the thing at camp that I should be looking forward to other than just camp is back?
Trubisky versus Mike White.
I guess that is a battle.
It's something. I'm not sure it's a battle. You know what I was thinking of the other day was Cole Bishop.
Okay.
Like, he missed most of training camp last year with a shoulder injury. And it put him behind the eight ball to potentially having a route to being the day one starter in front of DeMar Hamlin. And now it kind of feels like he's penciled in ahead of Hamlin.
I think he has to be. And ahead of, they had Derek Forrest in the offseason who started some games for Washington. Yeah. But they would want Bishop to start.
I think
they would want Bishop to show them at camp that, like, this isn't even a competition. Like, he is the starting safety.
Would that be the thing that you'd panic about the most in this team, is if he showed up to camp and looked like he did last year?
The thing I would...
Lost a little? Maybe it's dramatic, but I kind of felt...
Yeah, what's the thing I would panic about the most?
Would it be him not being good?
If it's not him...
Because they sort of need one of the, like, you know who Taylor Rapp is. He's fine.
Like, he's fine.
He doesn't kill you, and he's not a top 20 player at the position.
Last year, Pro Football Focus, he was, I think, the best rated tackling safety in the league, and also one of the worst coverage safeties in the league. So he gives you some things, and he leaves you, you know, wanting in other areas.
I think they really need him to be good. Cole Bishop. They need Cole Bishop to be good. And they need him to be good right out of the gate where he's being talked about on that side. Because the position needs someone to step up and be a good player. And they need for God's sakes, they need a second round pick to really come out and show out and be a player that they can look to and say, like, this is a building block. They got two more years of a second-round rookie contract and have a – like, so they were – you were talking about the show yesterday about them talking about James Cook. Well, I was listening when they had Jeremy Kahn on from Baltimore. And hearing him talk about – and then kind of just mentioning out loud, like, how good that Ravens secondary is. All of them are first-round picks. All of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And –
they have something like 9 first-round picks or something that are their projected starters.
That group in their defensive backfield is probably the best in football. So comparing it to them, I mean, whatever. I just think, like, I look at this defensive backfield and I say, it could be better than it was last year. How much better could it be? Because it kind of needs to be a lot better. And they focused almost all of their offseason resources on the defensive line. And then they added a bunch of fifth, sixth rounders to that defensive backfield, and obviously their first rounder and Maxwell Hairston. But, like, they kind of need Hairston to be good right out of the gate.
You could. I think the need for that is greater than a lot are giving credit for it. Because
he needs to be good out of the gate.
This is where I would almost say Hairston showing up and being good right away is more important than Bishop doing it. Because if Bishop doesn't do it, safety is a position where I feel like I could get away with just being okay at the position. They kind of did it last year.
How long into this? How long into training camp before, like, isn't there a free agent safety out there, like a good veteran? Is it Simmons?
I think he signed.
Did he?
He was on the market at one point in time.
There is like one starting caliber level, end of the career type guy that's still available, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like how long into training, how long is it going to take for you to panic on their safety position?
He might actually be available. Justin Simmons was with Atlanta last year, and yep. I don't see him on a team at the moment.
So he's out there. That's probably one of the more popular Facebook AI articles, is the Bills being connected to him. But like, I wonder how quickly you look at this defense and say, okay, well, you've got two guys, Christian Benford, Taron Johnson, that you know you can rely on. And Johnson has missed time, but yeah. I think you feel really good if, like, Cam Lewis has to step in. I think you feel fine. You've watched it before, and I thought he played well in place of Taron Johnson when he hurt his arm last year.
Yeah.
Plus, you've got other pieces that you've drafted. You know, Dorian Strong, Hancock, like they've got guys back there, like worst case, if Taron Johnson goes down. But like, if Cole Bishop isn't good,
yeah,
that's a problem for them.
Is it a bigger problem than if Hairston shows up and isn't good?
I think,
because to me, if Hairston shows up and he's just not ready, he's getting bullied by Coleman or whoever at camp, and it becomes evident, like, he's going to have a little bit of an adjustment because he's smaller.
Yep.
And what are other offensive coordinators going to do? What is Andy Reid going to do when he sees Max Hairston across the field? He's going to try to get his biggest wide receiver matched up against him. That might be a poor example because I don't know if Kansas City has a big receiver that they can really threaten you with. But when you play Tampa, what's Tampa going to try to do? They're going to try to get Mike Evans on Maxwell Hairston, and if he looks like he's having a tough time with that, and it might keep him from being on the field, I would be more worried with their depth at corner. I know they've added a lot of bodies.
Their floor is much higher, I think, than it was last year.
At corner?
Yeah.
Because last year they're at Elam. And Elam is the next man up, and for that I would agree with you. Because you couldn't trust him.
The volatility there, it would be like, oh, it's either an interception or he's giving up a touchdown or getting a penalty.
It's a different type of concern, I guess, than what Elam was. Elam was, I just don't know. I can't trust him. They couldn't trust him. They had to back him up 10 yards in the AFC Championship game, whereas I think they would trust Tre'Davious White
or Dane Jackson,
but I also would expect they would get cooked out there.
Yes.
By any reasonably good wide receiver.
Over the course of a game, yes. But I think down in, down out, you feel better, and you feel like you're going to trust that they're going to be in the right position, whether they make the play, especially Dane Jackson. That sort of was his MO here, right? He'd be in position to make a play and wouldn't make it.
Yeah.
But at least you could trust that he's not going to blow a coverage.
Maybe that's right. I think Tre'Davious White is going to tug on the heartstrings a little bit because he's the first draft pick of Sean McDermott, and he's an all-pro Bill. He's a Wall of Famer. If there's a Wall of Fame at the new stadium or Legends Park, whatever they're going to end up doing, like, Tre'Davious White is in it. So he has that coming in, but what I saw last year when he was in L.A. especially, and then even to some extent when he was in Baltimore, is if he's on the field, you want better.
Yeah.
It's a problem if he's on the field. He is not as athletic as he was when he was with the Bills. Now, maybe I should give him give him camp to see, all right, torn Achilles is what he was coming back from.
And last year.
A full year to recover. Right. A full offseason now without rehabbing every single day. Maybe he could look a little bit different. But I'm skeptical that him at 30 years old is going to look drastically different than what you saw last year. And I think if you get any version of what Tre'Davious White was last year, I think he's going to be playing games for them, and it's going to look like – it's going to look like – well, how much do the Bills know it? Because I do want to give them credit in this regard too. If they see Tre'Davious White getting cooked out there in any isolated situation out on the field, what are they going to do? They're going to insulate him.
Yeah.
They're going to protect him. They're going to leave Christian Benford maybe a little bit more on an island than they normally would. And they will, you know, they'll
wait
coverage
though,
to Tre'Davious White's side and make it they'll make it look like he's actually performing well, even though he's getting more help than the other guy is.
Isn't this your best argument? I mean, maybe incidentally, that like it might be more important for Cole Bishop to be the player that is good this year.
Because it's harder to do that with a safety.
But because then, at worst, if you go with Hairston, because you're like, this guy needs the reps, he needs to get in there, he's going to have to learn, you know, trial by fire.
Yeah.
You need to feel like you've got a safety over the top that you can insulate him with. And the same as if he's not ready and Tre'Davious White or Dane Jackson has to play.
Yeah.
You need to feel like you've got a safety back there, at least one guy in coverage. We know that Taylor Rapp is not the coverage guy. Well, then Cole Bishop needs to be that. He was supposed to be coming out. He was the athletic profile, great res, like can cover, can play in the box, can tackle, it's physical, can cover, can man, zone, man, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like that player needs to be, to me, that might be the biggest storyline for me is how long is he a player that when you see the starters on defense, that he is a standout, that he's a player that's all over the field, that's making plays, tipping balls, making interceptions. Like, to me, that will be the storyline for me because I think there's a ripple effect on who you feel comfortable with at corner.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can feel comfortable playing Maxwell Hairston in giving up some of the lows that you're going to get with a rookie, regardless if he was the number one pick or the number 31 pick.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you can maybe mitigate those lows if you have somebody that can insulate him behind the scenes in coverage. And to me right now, if it's not Bishop, I don't know that they've got somebody back there right now.
803-0550, if you have a thought on this. Kind of like if you could get one player on defense that isn't already this to stand out at training camp, who would you pick? If Bishop might be the most popular answer. I think Hairston would be right up there as well. Hairston, too, you know, like, him fighting for that starting job, that will be one of the biggest storylines when we get to training camp. And you said kind of just throw him in trial by fire. I kind of do prefer they just do that.
Yeah.
That if it's close at all, you do just put him in because, you know, like I had this conversation yesterday about how important really is this regular season for the Bills. And I do think getting the one seed is important. Broke down yesterday, you know, like what the difference in your path to the Super Bowl has been over the last 5 years, whether you're the one seed or if you're the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills' path has been extremely difficult. They have had to play two of Kansas City, Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Yep.
Every year their path has included two of those teams. The one seed has played the AFC South winner 3 years in a row,
right,
followed by one of those teams. So you have to only play one of them. So with that being said, the season is still mostly about January, mostly about what they look like when you get to the playoffs. And for Hairston, how much should I care if he is, you know, getting picked on a little bit early on, going through some growing pains early on. If it's in the name of, well, this is good for his development,
right,
by the time we get to end of the regular season, by the time we get to playoff time, he's more comfortable because we allowed him to grow through all of that.
Yep.
That is one thing I don't think is ever brought up about Kyrie Elam and how his development or how he just never turned into anything that they could use. And I think a lot of it just gets attributed to he wasn't a very good player, right? Like, he just wasn't a very good player. He didn't have great instincts for what they wanted.
And immediately got outplayed by their sixth-round pick.
That's right.
Immediately.
They did not do that with him, though. There was no, oh, he's going through some growing pains. Let's just throw him in.
Well, if you remember,
a little bit,
he had an injury. And
it opened
the door. Yeah, and it opened the door for Christian Benford.
Okay, don't
remember. And Christian Benford played the first couple of games of that season.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically it was, okay, well, Benford's just better.
Right, and that was maybe becoming a bit of a storyline.
Right away.
Right
away,
like camp.
Like
and
camp
preseason.
Right away, it was, who's this kid from Villanova?
Right. He did play, so Elam played in his first game as a Bill, that opener against the Rams. He did play 44% of the snaps. So they had him in a little bit, but that's not.
I think him and Benford both played in that game.
Yeah, Benford looks like played like every snap.
Yeah.
Benford was in there full time. Elam played a little less than half. So he would have been rotating in with somebody else.
Three years ago?
That is 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his first game as a Bill, 2022. And that could be the Hairston plan, similarly, if
insulate him with Tre'Davious White. And maybe, Trey White plays 60%, he plays 40%.
Right. That's not a position where they typically would rotate, but maybe
they've shown a willingness to.
Yeah.
The last time they brought in rookies
and had a first round pick that maybe they didn't fully trust yet.
Yep.
They still wanted to see him. They still wanted to get him game action. So he worked his way onto the field a little bit. Early in the season, by the way, Baltimore, Jets, Miami, New Orleans. What kind of test is that for rookie corner? The first 4 weeks, first month of the year. Baltimore doesn't have – Baltimore's the quarterback.
They do.
But
– they don't have the receiver. Zay Flowers is a nice player, but you're not – they're not shaking – I'm going to tell you right now, like, I don't think Bobby Babich is like, oh, what we got to do is make sure we stop Zay Flowers. No, I mean, everyone knows what the situation is.
You know what I do if I'm Baltimore and Maxwell Harrison's on the field, though?
DeAndre Hopkins.
I was gonna say, even though he's not the player he once was at all, I'm putting my veteran big physical receiver against the rookie small corner.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting to get pretty good results if I'm the Ravens. The Jets with Garrett Wilson. The Dolphins, you would think that would be perfect for Hairston, right?
Yes, speed.
All they have is speed receivers, and that guy just runs fast. And then New Orleans, we'll have a guest about the Saints a little bit later on as we kind of work through the Bills' schedule. And the Saints have Olave, but nobody to get him the football.
Shaheed,
that's speed. See, the speed receivers are the guys I think I don't want to be worried about.
I think I agree with
that. Who's your big physical route-running receiver? If you don't have a guy like that, I feel a little more comfortable with Hairston being on the field. In that first month, Hopkins, but he's aged.
Yep.
And then Garrett Wilson, I think, would qualify to some extent.
I would agree
on that.
I also might
but then
say
that's about it.
You're gonna so. Get so we I kind of posed the question, like, how long will it take for the Bills or maybe just fans to panic a little bit about Cole Bishop during training camp if he just doesn't look the part?
Yeah,
talk about trial by fire. I mean, you're getting you're gonna get tons of 2-12 personnel, two tight end packages. Isaiah Likely, one of the more athletic tight end profiles in the NFL. Mark Andrews,
yeah,
who's gonna have an axe to grind in that game a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're gonna need a safety that can match up against a 12 personnel,
yeah,
both as a physical run defender, but as a downfield pass defender as well. Like that first game, I think you're gonna learn a little bit about the secondary. Maybe not at the corner position, but what they've got at safety, that's going to be one right away they're going to get tested on.
803-0550 is the phone number. So the secondary, I guess, is where we're really looking at for training camp, which is 2 weeks from today, I believe, is report day for the players at St. John Fisher. James Cook has been both listed in the NFL's top 100 list,
yep,
voted on by the players, and Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, does his series every year, top 10 at each position, as voted on by executives, players, scouts, I think, as well. And James Cook made that list as well. I wanted to get into a conversation today about how good do we really think James Cook is? And another way I think you could do this that I want to have some fun with today is compare him to his peers in Bills history.
Mm.
And how highly would you rank James Cook? How good is James Cook compared to other Bills running backs that we've seen in the past? Because they've had a lot of them. They've had a lot of really good
running
backs.
They've had one thing over the course of the entirety of the organization, they've had running backs.
They've always had running backs. Like, it probably would be the best position on the team. All time, right?
All time.
It's not going to be quarterback. They've only had two great ones.
Would it be the
No offense, Joe Ferguson.
Would it be the single position, and you'd have to look at offensive line singularly, left tackle, right guard, center, that kind of thing, not just offensive line in general? Is it the one position that they might have had the most Hall of Famers at?
Well, they only have two, right?
Yeah,
I think they have. I think they have like three Hall of Fame guards.
Do they? Yeah,
Joe DeLaMalier.
Right. Yeah.
No, maybe that's not three. No, they've had good guards, I think, throughout their history.
Defensive
but...
ends, maybe.
Yeah, do they have
linebackers?
Do they have multiple Hall of Famers at any other position?
Wide receiver?
Andre Reed.
Yeah,
I think you might actually have that. I think that might be the only position they have multiple Hall of Famers.
Yeah,
and there's a long list of other guys that are not in the Hall of Fame that work for this as well. So we'll get into that a little bit. If you want to call in at 803-0550, get to some hockey today and. Some tennis. Ed McGrogan is going to come up at 9 o'clock from Tennis Channel. He's also a huge Bills fan. We've talked Bills with him before, so we'll get his thoughts on the team a little bit. And also Wimbledon. The men's side has star power all over it, and the women's side had a couple of big names go down early, but there are still good storylines. I had a couple people tweeting at me yesterday. Like, there's good storylines on the women's side as well. So we'll get some Wimbledon in at 9 o'clock with some Bills. And your phone calls as well. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, Jeremy's out today. This is WGR.
So honestly, it really all starts with preparation. You know, I'm the type of player where I think like I have to catch like a receiver, because when that ball's in the air, I'm going to adjust like a receiver and take it back to the house. And my mindset when I do get an interception is score, you know, like make it easy on the offense, you know, let them chill out a little longer. Go ahead, score. Go get you one.
Maxwell Hairston, who I would imagine is the fastest player on the Bills right now. He was the fastest player at the Combine, so it would be hard for him not to be, right?
I'd love to see him and James Cook in a race.
I think he would, no offense to James Cook, he would dust James Cook.
Really?
James Cook is fast, but James Cook, I don't want to just do this by 40 time. Would you guess James Cook is faster than he was at the Combine as a rookie? I actually might.
I think I might.
But he ran a 4.42? Is he 0.2 of a second faster?
Yeah, that's two steps faster.
Because Max Hairston ran
4.29?
4.28. So who's got that speed on the team? Even a depth player. Anybody? When Deontay Hardy was here a couple years ago, he might have had something close to that, right?
Yeah.
There's no one else on... Yeah, there's no one else...
Daquan Hardy?
Oh, Daquan Hardy. Maybe. That's not bad. What do you think he ran?
Probably a 4.33.
They drafted him. Daquan Hardy, Bills punt returner and corner, ran a 4.38.
Even that. I mean, that's full tenth.
Brandon Codrington, maybe?
Codrington?
No. Codrington, 4.55.
Wow. I would not have guessed
Way
that.
Way off on that one.
Yeah.
There's no receiver.
Nope.
There's no receiver that would even be close, right? I don't know that there is one.
Yeah, he might be the fastest.
Dorian Williams ran a 4.47.
That's crazy.
It really is, isn't it? Dorian Williams is a fast human being. No safety, no corner, no. Anyways, 803-0550 is the phone number. James Cook, I wanted to get to a little bit on him and how good we really think James Cook is. He was in the top 100 list. He's in the top 10 running backs in the league, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler's series that he's got with executives and scouts that are voting on this. James Cook threw 3 years with the Bills. Here's a little instant trivia to get the gears grinding this morning. James Cook threw 3 seasons with the Bills, has 2,638 rushing yards. There are 6 Bills running backs that have had more in their first 3 seasons with the team, ever. Who are the 6?
OJ.
OJ did not.
Really?
OJ is 14th.
Wow.
All time.
Slow starter.
He was OJ with the Bills, and those that watched him would maybe remember this. His first 3 seasons, rushing totals, 697, 488, 742. Then he starts going crazy, 1,200, 2,000, 1,100, 1,800. First 3 years, there was like nothing.
Well, I think I got number one. It's Travis Henry.
Travis Henry. I actually tweeted this out asking yesterday because that surprised me that all the great running backs, Hall of Fame running backs, the Bills have had in their history, if you just go, who had the most yards and the most touchdowns in their first three seasons with the team?
Travis Henry.
Travis Henry's the answer to both of those.
Yeah.
So Travis Henry's number one.
He was a workhorse.
3,500 yards in his first three seasons.
I don't think it'll be Willis McGahee because he missed year one.
That's a good question. Your stat head has him listed, but maybe they don't.
They don't count year one?
They don't have 2003 listed for him. So that's like, that's an asterisk.
Technicality, yeah.
But he, I guess, first three seasons played, he qualifies. 3,365 yards for McGahee.
Marshawn
is 30 yards behind James Cook in his first three seasons.
Okay.
I think part of that might be, was
two other running backs here?
Did he not get suspended?
Yeah, plus there was Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller here, too, within his first 3 years.
Yeah, Lynch in year three. No, that's the suspension year might be the year after. He played 13 games, though, in his third season, so he missed four for maybe injury. Maybe that was.
Is Fred Jackson on the list?
Fred Jackson is not on the list because he came out of NFL Europe right away, and he wasn't quite there. I'll give you a hint. You're missing another Hall of Famer.
Thurman.
Thurman is number two, 3,400. You're missing two old-time Bills running backs, and then you're missing another running back that the Bills didn't draft. First 3 years with the team, not first 3 years of career. LeSean McCoy, 3,300.
Cookie Gilchrist.
Cookie Gilchrist, 3,000. The other one I could probably just give you.
Okay.
Joe Cribbs.
Okay.
Joe Cribbs, 80-82, 2,900 yards, just a little bit above James Cook. Did not mention on that list, no OJ.
Yep.
No Fred Jackson. No Josh Allen, by the way, but we're not for this conversation, that's different. No C.J. Spiller. He only had 2,100.
Yeah, he just didn't get a lot of touches.
Right. So Cook comes in on that list at number seven.
Where's Sammy Morris on that list?
Sammy Morris is... Hold on, I'm at Zach Moss, and it's still not at Sammy Morris. I'm at Carlos Williams.
Nice.
Man, what? There's Ray Davis.
What a year Carlos Williams was.
Ray Davis had more yards in his rookie year than Sammy Morris had in his first 3 years with the Bills.
Was Carlos what year was Carlos Williams? Is that 14 or 15?
15.
It was him and McCoy. It was the most electric I ever remember that running back room being.
He had 9 touchdowns for the Bills in his rookie season, Carlos Williams, and then never played again.
Never played. That was it.
Has anybody ever done that? Scored that many touchdowns in their one and only season in the NFL? Who has played just one season in the NFL and had more than 9 touchdowns? I bet you nobody in NFL
history.
I
bet you he's probably the only one.
I'll try to find that. That might be tough to track down that record. Cook, though, on that list, right now, like determining how good Cook is, where is he right now on an all-time Bills running back list? How good is he? Is he better? Who is he not? Who is he definitively not better than?
OJ.
He's not better than OJ. He's not better than Thurman. That's two.
Probably Shady McCoy.
You've got him being better than LeSean McCoy?
No. I have LeSean McCoy being better.
Okay. Is he better than Travis Henry?
I would say not. I mean, not by the numbers.
Henry in his first 3 years, most ever.
Yeah. I would say so those four.
Henry is one of those guys where I'm young when he's playing. So I remember him being good, but I mean, I'm 9 years old when he's on the team. It's tough for me to remember how good he was considered.
Yeah.
Like league-wide, you know? Like he was a good Bills running back, but was Travis Henry ever thought of as like, oh, this guy's one of the better running backs in football?
The problem is he was in the era of running backs.
Yeah, Priest like, Holmes right, and Jamal right. Lewis and
like just great
Clint
running backs.
Portis.
They mattered.
Yep.
Like now it's kind of like there's 5 players and everyone else kind of doesn't matter.
Right. Which makes it easier for Cook to land 8th on a list like that.
Yeah.
So Henry, is he better than Fred Jackson? Would anybody put him above Fred Jackson on an all-time Bills list? No, right?
Yeah, but that's just because the vibes were.
That's
Fred Jackson's the vibe guy.
Mm-hmm. He was great.
He was
for
great.
What?
Three years?
See, again, that's the thing with Cook. We're in this 3-year window.
In the bubble.
And it probably ends up only being 4 years. I don't think there's a strong possibility right now that he's here past that. It still could happen. Is he better than CJ Spiller?
Yes. Definitively, I would say.
Definitively?
Yes.
Spiller had one monster season.
That's it.
And I will say, that one monster season is as good as I've ever seen a Bills running back.
Yes.
He had that year. That's 2012.
He averaged over 5 yards a carry. I mean, it was...
He averaged 6 yards a carry. Yes. He averaged 6 yards a carry
Crazy.
For a whole season.
Yeah.
Spiller had... starting 9 games, by the way, out of 16, because, you know, Fred needed to have his turn. Spiller had 1,700 total yards and 8 touchdowns. That's really only the one big year. He had 933 yards the year after that, 1,100 total. So,
yeah,
by the numbers and, you know, just by watching them, Cook is better. Cook's a more effective back, more consistent back, right? Spiller was just the one pop boom year where he looked like one of the best running backs in football.
It was speed.
He never looked like that otherwise.
Yeah, it just was. It was speed that. This is the thing I'll say about James Cook is a lot of the criticism of Cook was he had a lot of the same issues that CJ Spiller had, which was the patience. Finding the hole, like it was just, okay, well, I'm going to get the hole, I'm going to break it to the outside and try to outrun people. Mm-hmm. And that was CJ Spiller. Even in the season he averaged 6 yards a carry, it was like, well, he's not an inside guy. That's what you'd have Fred Jackson on the field for, to run those inside plays. And you just wanted to try to get CJ Spiller in space. Their screen game was unbelievable with Chan Gailey and Ryan Fitzpatrick and using him that way. And I think the thing that's developed the most for James Cook is him as a patient runner, as being able to hit the holes, using his speed as a breakaway tool, not as his primary tool as a runner inside. He's one of the, I would say, more effective slash inside runners in the league.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I think the vision that Cook has is one of the best in football.
Yes.
Is he better than Willis McGahee?
It's a hard question.
That's going to be his territory. I think really... To do the easy part first, I don't think it is debatable that he at this point is like a top five running back in Bills history. Even with two monster years, like some teams that would be true of.
Yeah.
Like not every team's got great running backs throughout their history, but he's not Thurman, OJ, and to be respectful, I think, to guys that played in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I think Cookie Gilchrist and Joe Cribbs are above him.
Yeah,
Cookie Gilchrist especially.
It's hard if you want to look at it as who was the better player or who had the better stats. I mean, to me, Willis McGahee's probably the third best running back the Bills have ever had. He was one of the greatest college players ever. I mean, he was unbelievable in college before he blew his knee out.
Uh-huh.
And then came back.
But you said for the Bills.
I know. He's in terms of talent.
That sounds, I'm not even saying you're wrong. Just hearing the phrase, I think Willis McGahee's the third best running back in Bills history, sounds
the most
crazy.
Third most talented running back. Yeah.
Okay, that's different. That's,
I think I agree. It's different, but.
Most talented. Why? Spiller is coming into my head for talented. That's just because he was fast, though, right?
It's because he was fast.
It's because he seemed like the most terrifying person to have with the ball in his hands ever.
Right, which
but
was
it
why
never really came to fruition.
Jeremy and I were beating the drum of if we could add one player from the drought teams onto this one, it would have been before James Cook, it was Spiller.
Yeah, I remember those conversations. McGahee third.
Yeah, I think.
I think anyone that watched Cookie Gilchrist will want to fight you.
Probably.
Over that for sure. Him above Cook, though, 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards, 990 yards. Those are his first three seasons, and only three seasons, with the Bills. More yardage, more touchdowns. I will say, though, full yard lower on yards per carry. James Cook in years 1 through 3 with the Bills, 4.9 yards per carry. McGahee, 3.9, which is not necessarily very good. Where does Cook rank? How good is he on the all-time Bills running back list? It's a good list. I think you'd put him in the top 10, but even that is that's a crowded field. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Joe DiBiase and Nate Geary here on WGR. All right, welcome back. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off at the Finger Lakes this week. Having a good time before training camp. Nate's going to Pinehurst later in the week. You've been to Pinehurst before,
I
right?
I have.
This is your second?
Third time
at Pinehurst?
Second time that I'll have played number two.
I think the Pinehurst golf trip is the most common of the, like, the big golf trips, you know? Yeah. I think how many people? I feel like I know a few people that have done it. Whereas, you know, like, I don't know a million people that have done Pebble or, you know, maybe the Bethpage trip is a little bit more common than Pinehurst.
And it's close. Pinehurst, though, it's just because there's so many golf courses.
There's 10 of them, right?
Yeah, maybe 11 now.
Okay. And number two is obviously the one that everybody
wants to play. And crazy enough, I've been there twice already. I've never played the Cradle. I think we're playing twice. So
the Cradle? What is that?
It's the cool par three that you've been to the premises? Have you been to the property?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so you walk into the property and there is a 12-hole par three course that you play barefoot, and it's surrounded, it's like all within rock formations. And it's like there are rocking chairs set up. It's right next to the giant putting green that has an 18-hole putting course on it. It's probably the second coolest thing there other than number two.
Okay. The North Carolina golf trip is...
elite.
Is elite.
I like it better than Myrtle.
And this year, if you are looking to do it, the Bills play in Carolina.
They do.
And that would be the time to do it. October 26th is elite golf season.
Yep.
Especially in North Carolina.
Especially down there.
Yeah.
Might be the best golf season.
That's the week after the bye week, by the way, for the Bills, is the Carolina game.
You can turn that into a two-week trip.
I did see... You really could.
Week and a half.
I talked to... I was on a Charlotte radio station last week. They're doing the same thing. Like, we're going through the Panthers schedule. And I mentioned, like, I think a lot of Bills fans are going to want to go to that. Like, and he said, well, yeah, there's a million transplants down here. He told me, though, ticket prices are up right now from where they've been in recent years because there's more hope about the Panthers right now than there ever has been. So if you're a Bills fan wanting to go to that game, maybe you wait until the Panthers like lose three games.
And then try to score some tickets.
Early on. But I will say their schedule, what's their record going to be going into that Bills game? They play Jacksonville, Arizona, Atlanta, New England, Miami, Dallas, and the Jets to start.
They got three wins. I think that'd be pretty good for them.
There's not a hard game in there. Those are all winnable. Yeah. Could they be four and three?
That would probably
five and two.
I think 4-3, 5-2 is probably their best case scenario.
Best case, I would agree.
We'll see how good your Bryce Young is.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, but he did look a lot better.
A lot better.
803-0550 is the phone number. Where's James Cook rank on the all-time Bills running back list? I've got a couple of tweets. One from Joe Marino, who from Locked On Bills, who we have on Wednesdays, and he said there's one guy on that top 10 list that he definitively is better than, even if it's only maybe one. Get to that. We got a Saints guest coming up at 8 o'clock, Ross Jackson. We'll go through the Bills schedule. The Saints might be the biggest pushover on the Bills schedule, but that depends how good you think the quarterback is, Tyler Shuck. So we'll talk about that at 8. Time for your phone calls coming up next here on WGR.